on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? Welcome back to another edition of the YokeCast podcast. Always great to have you tuned in for the episodes here on the YokeCast podcast as we continue to try to share stories of student athletes or administrators or whoever might be connected to Coyote Athletics in some way, shape, or form. And this week we get somebody who's very connected because he's the commissioner of the Summit League. So I had a chance to catch up with Josh Fenton. We'll get into all that here in just a little bit. This week was a special week at the University of South Dakota. Obviously, they have officially introduced John Schimmel as the next athletic director at South Dakota. And John was a part of the press conference on Wednesday. They had that, and then obviously he spoke to a group in the Core Trust Club and addressed the crowd at the end of the first quarter of the men's basketball game against Eastern Washington. And now he's on the tour, right? He was at lunch with the U on Thursday. We've got an event in Sioux City Thursday evening, and then Friday in Yankton and Rapid City for breakfast in Yankton, Rapid City dinner. And great to see the athletic director getting out to see and meet as much of Coyote Nation as you can. And if you've heard the remarks from Josh Fenton, then you'll get this. If not, well, what you'll understand or not, Josh Fenton of John Schimmel. If you hear the remarks of John Schimmel, the new athletic director at South Dakota, what you'll get is that he believes in connecting with people. He believes in connecting with the students to understand, help them understand why their presence at games is important. He wants to connect with the student athletes to make sure that they have everything that they need as student athletes and make their experience tremendous, not only as student athletes at USD, but how they can better grow as people so that they can go out into the world and do great things. And he wants to connect with fans to help them understand that your involvement, whether it is monetary or you show up to things and you're engaged, and how important that is to Coyote Athletics. And you can tell he wants to connect with the coaches and make sure that they have everything that they need to be successful at South Dakota. And I mean, you can just tell that he obviously is a guy who's excited to be here. He's excited to take on this role and really excited to see what happens, you know, with his leadership. And, you know, he said it in every conversation that he has had. He has given acknowledgement to Corey Jenkins. Corey's been tremendous as interim athletic director at USD, and I hope Corey's able to continue to do in the roles that he has been doing, because Corey, you know, was great in the interim role, and we all got to know Corey a little bit better because of that interim role opportunity. You know, those two right now working together well, and it's exciting to see that kind of work going on at the University of South Dakota. And, you know, you hear John Schimmel talk about some of the things, and, you know, he talked about at lunch with the U on Thursday in Sioux Falls about, you know, plans for the old pool. The new pool will get done in the fall, and then the old pool are going to fill that in, and the goal is to make that kind of a golf and softball practice area, practice facility. And you're always looking for new office space, and how can you reconfigure some of the space that you have to better allow, like in the dome, for example, on the East Concourse, right? Everybody wants to know, when's that darn wall going to go away so we can get less congestion on the bathroom side of the East Concourse? It gets really crazy when you have big crowds on that side, and obviously the west side has helped. It's good flow on that side of the building, but the east side, still some room, and they'll continue to make adjustments. So there's a lot of things going on at South Dakota, and, you know, everybody wants all the answers right now from John Schimmel. But I'll tell you this much. I know he's been able to dive into it a little bit, right? But he's going to have to be here a little bit to really understand where to go with Coyote Athletics and where to put the focus on, you know, as we inch closer and closer and closer and continue to try to, you know, make this the best possible experience for Coyote fans and Coyote student athletes and everybody involved. So really excited to see what happens in his leadership. And obviously he's out meeting people. So if you get a chance to be at an event with John Schimmel, certainly introduce yourself. He wants to get to know as many people as he possibly can. We're right in the middle of the Big Sky Summit Challenge, the second day of it coming up on Saturday, and it is a tight race right now, everything all square between the Big Sky and the Summit in women's and men's basketball after the first night of the Summit Big Sky Summit Challenge on Wednesday. Joined now by the commissioner of the Summit League, Josh Fenton. Commissioner, first of all, thanks for the time. Thanks for joining us. I know you've been getting your feet wet here with the Summit League, and now really a full go since the last time that we talked to you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been exciting, and obviously, what we're going to talk about a little bit today, the Summit Big Sky Challenge is here, and we've got day one complete, and we've got an exciting day yet ahead.
How did this whole idea come about to kind of create this Big Sky Summit Challenge? I know it assists in scheduling and some of that, but how was this created?
If you recall, last year there was a national concept that was being circulated. It was called Wild Card Week, which was essentially going to match up kind of like versus like, help teams kind of more the mid-majors, low to mid-majors, give them a chance to improve resume if they went 2-0 in the Wild Card Week format, but it needed to involve numerous multiple conferences, probably upwards of a dozen, really, to get it going and make it worthwhile. We were supportive of the concept. The Big Sky was supportive of the concept, but there just wasn't enough other conferences across the country. And so, you know, Tom Wister, still the commissioner of the Big Sky, and I kind of got together separately and talked about, hey, is there something that we can create? You know, there's a challenge in finding non-conference, meaningful non-conference games, especially on the men's side. I don't know that it's much of a problem on the women's side, but on the men's side, it definitely is a challenge for the low to mid majors, especially home games. And so this gave each of our programs, his conference, our conference, an opportunity to play a meaningful game at home. And then obviously the programs would travel on the road and play another meaningful Division I game. And so that's really kind of where it started. And then the aspect of the promotion and how can this be good for the game of college basketball? How can this be good for the brand of the Summit League, the brand of the Big Sky, kind of evolved over time. And you've seen a lot of the social media things that have come out over the past few weeks. We obviously have a scoreboard, so to speak, and keeping track of the challenge results. And so all of that kind of came as a result of just putting the concept together.
Does this feel like something that can continue to be a long-term type of agreement with the leagues?
Well, we do have a multi-year agreement between the two leagues. And so we'll at least go for another couple of years. You know, I think a little early to tell on whether this continues, you know, for the foreseeable future, longer into the future. My initial response and reaction is, why wouldn't we do it? Again, meaningful games that have become challenging for programs to get. And so I see it as only a positive. You know, there's a lot of like between the Big Sky and the Summit League in terms of the institutions that are a part of each of our leagues. And so I see it as a thing that should and hopefully will continue, but we'll assess that down the road.
Yeah, I'm sure at some point you'll get a chance to evaluate how this year went and see if there need to be any tweaks going forward and some of that. And I don't know if you take feedback from coaches or just kind of how that works with the commissioners, but you look at just how teams get matched up. How does the selection of opponents and teams and the schedule and all of that, how does all that come together?
Well, first off, I can tell you it's definitely not Tom and I sitting in our offices on many Zoom calls just figuring this out on our own. I will tell you that our deputy commissioners, Dan Satter in the Big Sky and Mindy K. Larson in the Summit League, did the lion's share of the work and ultimately getting it to the point of where it is. And, you know, as you refer to things like matchups, you know, frankly, future dates, you know, it took us a while to identify and figure out what were the future dates going to be, which we haven't yet released. For next year and the year after. But matchups were put together based upon a set of metrics where teams had finished kind of in tiers in the conference standings and then ultimately where teams had been in the national net rankings over the last couple of years. It's not a perfect science, but it is data that we can go off of. I think it's probably, unfortunately, less perfect today than maybe it once was. If we were looking at this type of methodology, say, oh, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, and you know, and the transfer portal has a big thing to do with that. Rosters last year are different than rosters this year, and that's just the nature of college athletics. And so a team's results last year may not necessarily be reflective of where they'll be this year, but we do have to go off some level of data to try to match up like versus like. And we also understand that it's not going to be a perfect science and we're not going to get it right every time. But I think in general, it's the right type of methodology to be thinking about.
Now, your goal is to get the best possible matchups, have the most exciting games. And obviously you looked at the scoreboard, night number one, it's 11-11. So obviously something worked out.
Somebody did something right. I'm sure some coaches aren't happy with us, but it made for an exciting first night and really exciting what will be Saturday here with the rest of the games to finish it up. And I guess we'll see where we fall with the overall results of the challenge. But it's been fun so far.
Yeah, I really like the idea of you get a point for a home win and a point and a half for a road victory, because we hear coaches say it all the time, and it sounds like but the reality is that it's tough to win on the road. So you're giving the extra points to those who went on the road.
Yeah, I mean, that was something that was brought to kind of the overall concept by Ryan Powell and kind of the comp staff out of the Big Sky. And to your point, exactly, how do we reward, appropriate wins? You know, winning at home is good, but winning on the road should mean a little bit more, especially if we seemingly matched up like versus like, which again is an imperfect science. But we want to provide more value on the road. I mean, that's taken into account in net rankings, when NCAA tournament selection process comes to be, you know, team sheets and what the committee's looking at. And so, you know, winning on the road means quite a bit. And so we wanted to reflect that in some way in this challenge.
Well, as we get through it, we'll learn more all about this. Is this something that you would consider with other leagues? Is it hard to get something like this started with other leagues too?
The answer to the first part of your question is yes. I've had some just general conversations with other commissioner colleagues that I thought would make sense. Nothing really has come to fruition. That isn't meant to say that we wouldn't do it. Years ago, and I don't know if it ever got to a public stage, but years ago, prior to COVID, our league and the Horizon League were considering something similar. Now, I don't know that it was the same type of concept that we have at the Big Sky. And so, you know, we've explored these types of things in the past, and I think we'll continue to explore them because, again, if it helps our programs get meaningful games, especially games at home, where, John, they are having a hard time bringing, like I said, Division I opponents to come into some of our venues, and maybe more of a problem on the men's side than the women's side, but in general, it is a challenge. And, you know, we want to be helpful and try to come up with unique and creative ways to ensure that our programs can get some meaningful opponents in their buildings. So possibly.
Hey, be honest. If they had told you when you were going through this process that in the first year you would be featured on social media with your golf skills, your bowling, your art skills, all of that stuff, would it have made this decision easier or harder?
Well, all of that stuff definitely didn't come to be until very late in the game. So, you know, when we were putting the challenge together, and I can't remember exactly when we announced it last year, but, you know, we didn't think of things like that at that time. So I don't know that it would have influenced one way or another. But, you know, the Big Sky's known for being very creative in their social engagement and content that they create. And so we wanted to kind of work with them on that. And so the commissioner challenge, I guess, was part of it. And we filmed a short sketch, if you call it that, and a take off the show, The Office. And so just trying to have some fun with it and, you know, get some promotion and visibility and building the brand of the Summit League.
Did you know your art skills could one day win the challenge or what?
My art skills are brutal. Tom Wistersill's art skills may be worse, though. So how about that? Nothing in my body that's overly artistic, especially when it comes to drawing.
Well, it was enough to get the job done.
I guess I got the job done. You're right on that.
Well, congratulations on your victory, and hopefully the Summit League by the end of the day on Saturday will be victorious in the inaugural Big Sky Summit Challenge. Commissioners, you look ahead. Obviously, we got 2 months left here of the basketball regular season, and then we're into the Summit League's premier event, the Summit League Basketball Tournament. What are some things happening right now for the league as they prepare for the biggest event, really, for the league out of the year?
Yeah, first off, and you know this, but you know, for your listeners, it should be reminded, like, we've got one of the best, one of the most special college basketball tournaments across the entire country in the Summit League. And it exists right here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And so the community really rallies around it. The corporate community supports us from a sponsorship standpoint, obviously the city, and the Premier Center staff and everybody really just come together to put on a first-class event. Mindy K. Larson, our deputy commissioner, really runs the event. Everything kind of runs through her. And so a lot of the things that you see that are unique and creative touches come from her. She definitely has a more artistic side to her than I do, so maybe I'll let her draw next time. But, you know, we're looking forward to it. Obviously, we're in the process of selling tickets. We sold a lot of tickets. There are some tickets available, some good seats available. We've been intentional about trying to open up more inventory in the lower levels. So our institutional holds that we're required to hold, even though institutions may not come to all the sessions, have been moved into the upper levels. And so it's opened up more lower level seats, significantly more lower level seats for the general public. And so we encourage people who haven't yet gotten their tickets to get out there and do that simply through Ticketmaster.com. But yeah, that's our focus right now, John, is obviously we've started the conference basketball season. We'll get back to it after the Big Sky Summit Challenge here, but it's really a focus around preparing for our biggest event of the year, which is that first part of March, and look forward to being here.
You know, when you look at the league as a whole, obviously there's we talk every single year about conference realignment. It's amazing, right? Like 10 years ago, we didn't talk as much about it, but now you're just holding your breath for, wait, who's leaving what conference next and some of that. And I think for fans, there's a little uneasiness of what conferences might look like year to year. What is the Summit League doing right now to continue to be a stable conference, in a conference that teams, if they are going to leave another conference, that they want to come here and strengthen what we have in the Summit League?
Well, your first part of what you said in terms of the uneasiness from fans, I'll tell you there's a severe uneasiness across commissioners in the country here, just in regards to what our national environment looks like. You know, there's a lot of upheaval. Certainly conference realignment's a part of that, and conference realignment has been spurned by kind of external forces, mainly economic reasons, especially at the highest level, and that there's then been a trickle-down effect. And that isn't meant for me to say that I'm blaming, you know, the SEC or the Big Ten for the demise of, you know, traditional conferences. That isn't for me to say that, but the fact of the matter is that we've had movement at those levels that have had impact across the entire ecosystem. And, you know, I think a lot of us in the industry are just scratching our head a little bit on, you know, where we were at one point in time, which was regionally based. You know, if you thought about college athletics, yes, there was a national flair to it. We had national championships, basketball, even in football, be it a different structure, and certainly in other sports. But the conference business was typically in a somewhat regional manner, with like-minded schools that shared some commonality either through geography or other ways. And so, you know, some of that has been lost, and I think that's I guess a little bit too bad, but we do need to evolve. And so to answer the second part of your comment/question is that, you know, the Summit League is prioritizing around things that are important to us. So number one, that if athletics is going to be existing on a campus of higher education, it better be inherently educational. You know, we can't just be about the business of college athletics. Yes, there is a business to run college athletics, but we have to ensure that there's a connection and a tether to the institution, because institutions are there to be in the human development business. So if athletics is going to exist in that regard, you know, we want to embody that in the athletics programs out of the Summit League. The second thing is we want to promote and focus on broad-based competitive success. You know, it's not just going to be that we're going to put all our eggs into this basket or that basket, but we want to focus on good, what I would call appropriately high Division I experiences for our student athletes so we can have generally broad-based success across all sports. Certainly there are certain sports, basketball being one of them, that you know, we talk about, we think about a little differently because it does impact the brand, media opportunities, and can have indirect impact on other sports to lift everybody. But generally we want to be committed to broad-based athletics. And so, you know, I think we're looking at it that way. What's our connection to the institution, the educational mission of the institution, the importance of academics being part of a collegiate athletic experience, but that also we want to have broad-based competitive success and that we want to provide appropriately high experiences for our student athletes. And so as the Summit League sits here today, you know, those are the things that we talk about. Those are the things that we think about. And for those that maybe aren't a part of the Summit League, and maybe if there was an opportunity to think of us in a different manner in the future, you know, we're open to those conversations with institutions that want to take on a similar type of approach that we've taken on. And so, you know, we've been open, and I would call it passively aggressive, on continuing to strengthen the membership of the Summit League. We're not going to break any news today, but, you know, those are things that we continue to work on. And I think we're positioned to be a preeminent Division I conference in the future. And the last thing that I'll share with you in a month to 2 months time here, we're going to release a new strategic plan that's going to talk a lot about of what I just kind of mentioned and where are we prioritizing things. And I think that will articulate probably better than I just did. Kind of who is the Summit League and what does the Summit League want to be for the future. But we're excited about our future.
Yeah, last thing for you. I'm just curious on, I know that some of our sports have affiliate members, you know, swimming and diving, I think men's tennis and soccer and some of that, and baseball does. Baseball has six teams right now. A, is that a concern? And B, is that a focus as you look at realignment on how many teams are currently in some of your sports? Is it something that you talk to the current schools in the league and ask them about potentially adding some of these sports? Obviously, they have their own budget and Title IX parameters to work in. But is that a way that you try to work through some of this and strengthen some of those numbers in some of these sports that have six or seven programs?
Yeah, I think the first thing is, number one, it's just a necessity to be very strategic and very intentional in some of those sports because we've got requirements from the NCAA to have certain numbers of members sponsoring the sport. And so, as you alluded to, when you have certain sports that have slightly lower sponsorship numbers, you know, you don't want to be put into a situation that could impact, you know, whether it be, say, the conference's automatic qualification or something else related to the requirements that the NCAA has. Now, I will say that I and others believe the NCAA's requirements in some of these team-sponsored sports are a bit archaic, and I know that they're looking at that. And the reason why they're looking at that is because of the realignment that we talked about in the previous question that has impacted certain conferences and certain sports and conferences to where they've been lessened in some of these numbers. And so, but the internal part answer to your question is, yes, we are very strategic around sports, especially the team sports. The individual sports are a little bit different. Although we've got affiliate members in swim and dive, you know, that's not an automatic qualifying sport. There's not a team automatic qualifying out of the swimming and diving championships to the NCAA swimming and diving championships, like a track and field, as would be in a similar situation. You know, that's all based upon individual performance results to qualify for those events. A men's soccer, a baseball, those are considered team sports, and so there's an automatic qualification to that. And so our thought process on those is different than our thought process is on individual sports. And we have very specific strategies actually going on right now. And I feel confident and very good that, you know, for instance, with men's soccer, that we have already some of the best men's soccer programs in the country, and we can build a pretty special product with men's soccer that could be nationally competitive, you know, dare I say, you know, top 10 type conference in the country, and maybe knocking on the door for a national championship one day. And so we're engaging with institutions that obviously can't have their multi-sport conference sponsor men's soccer because they don't have enough institutions to see if they would be interested in affiliate opportunities, because they want to be a part of a strong, robust, visionary look at men's soccer. And it's a similar thing for baseball, similar type of story there. But yeah, those are things that we talk about and think about, frankly, on a daily basis.
Well, I know there's always a lot of moving parts and a lot to think about when we talk about the conference and the future of conferences and all that. So, Commissioner, really appreciate your time very much and your transparency in the conversation, as always. Thanks so much, and hopefully the Summit League can pull out a victory over the Big Sky here this week.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
That is Josh Fenton. He is the commissioner of the Summit League. He's been on the job, it feels like, a short time, right? He was, what was he, hired about a year ago, roughly, I think, and obviously was there for the tournament and all of that stuff, but, you know, obviously has been able to entrench himself into the Summit League. And really good thoughts from Josh Fenton on where this thing can go for the Summit League, and you can tell there's a lot of high belief in the people who are putting together the Summit League and in what this league can be. And we got to continue to build as a group collectively, continue to build this thing to being one of the best conferences in the country. And so a lot of excitement there. We'll see what happens. But let's try to finish off a Summit League victory here in the Big Sky Summit Challenge. Full slate of games coming up on Saturday. That takes us to what is going on in Coyote Athletics as we wrap things up. The Coyote women's basketball team is at home on Saturday. They will take on Idaho State, 1 o'clock. It is Alumni Day for the Coyote women's basketball team, so check that out. Get your tickets at goyotes.com or call 605-677-5959 for ticket information. And the men's basketball team will be at Montana Saturday, 8 o'clock Central Time start time. We'll be on the air at 7:30 on the Coyote Sports Network. You can hear the women's game starting at 12:30 with Jerry Pileschi. And then I'll have the action for you from Missoula, Montana, coming up at 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock Central Time tip-off on Saturday as the Coyotes wrap up the Big Sky Summit Challenge. And then we will get a couple of days off before the women are back at home next Thursday to host Oral Roberts, and the men will be on the road at Oral Roberts. But then we get the weekend off for basketball, chance to kind of collect ourselves. It's been a crazy go time of stretch for basketball, and I know they'll appreciate having a weekend off and a chance to kind of reset everything as we get ready for that stretch run here in Summit League basketball. So get all of your tickets for upcoming Coyote events. Go to goyotes.com or call 605-677-5959 for ticket information. All right, that's it for me this week. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of the YoteCast podcast. My thanks to the commissioner of the Summit League, Josh Fenton. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a great weekend. Until next time, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.